We have a more, of course, you're more spiritual, you're more devout, you're back on Sunday night, but I want to preach a deeper, harder message. I think, man, you're the ones who are already doing right, and then I got to preach at you and give you harder stuff to do. And so you get rewarded with being good by getting preached at real hard and telling you what you're still not doing good. But we should appreciate all your labor and your work and your faithfulness to church, and you do a real good job of handling it. And I'm going to be in 1 Chronicles 13. 1 Chronicles 13. I'm going to talk tonight about lessons from David moving the Ark of the Covenant, lessons from David moving the Ark. I read this story before and seen a few things in it, but it really just really spoke to me a lot in a practical way this when I was reading it recently. And I think that we have some good lessons that can help us in life. 1 Chronicles 13, it says, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and Levites which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let them bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not, at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kijath-Jearim." Let's pray, and we'll talk about the lessons here. Father, you are all of our Father, Father, Lord, and every single one of us. And Lord, you know our needs, you know our thoughts, our battles. You know why this message needs preached tonight. You know everything, Father. And we thank you that you're a Father who cares about us and wants to move us on to perfection. And we pray tonight that you'd help us. And I pray that your purpose would be done and you'd give us what we need. And I pray, though I don't know what the need is, Lord, I can just take the message you give me and preach it. I pray that you would speak and we would get what we need, and that heaven would come down and just dwell in this room, and we'd be helped, and everybody who hears this message ever would be helped and changed by your Spirit and by your word. I'm not worthy, Lord. I just ask for your blessing and your power to cleanse me, use me, fill me, and as a messenger, Lord, to make me above what I'm worthy of by making your purpose to flow through me and your power to flow through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine this big event. They decide that David is king now, and he's in Jerusalem now, and his kingdom settled down now. And, well, Saul had messed up. The last leader had messed up, and so he had not done a lot of things right and in the end. And he says, you know what we need to do? We need to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem and back to where God wants it and back where it's intended to be, because we haven't been asking God's wisdom. And Saul, the Ark of the Covenant was neglected. It needs to be here in Jerusalem, in God's place. We're eventually going to build God a house here. This is where, this is the city of God. This is where I'm the king here, and we need God close to us and God to lead us. So let's go fetch that ark. Let's bring it back to us, and let's do that. And so he calls everybody and says, let's do this. And then he calls pretty much a national get-together and says, go send people everywhere in the nation and tell them, come to Jerusalem, and we're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to have a party, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to put the Ark of the Covenant here, and we're going to just worship God here and do this. And so the whole nation's invited. If you ever organize anything where you want good things to happen, it can be a wedding reception, it can be a wedding, it can be a thousand different things, you're worried to death that it's going to be a dud. And you're worried it's not going to go well, and something's going to go wrong. You're always worried about those things. And can you imagine David? He said, let's bring God's ark here. They didn't inquire at God. I want to ask God for wisdom. And let's bring God's ark here. And we can talk to God and ask him for wisdom on this thing. And that's wise. I think you ought to ask God for wisdom. And in the Bible, when people would go to God for wisdom, he would do it. And he promises he'll do it. He promises to give you wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, I give it to you liberally. And in the Old Testament, whenever somebody would stop and say, Lord, what should we do? God would say this. And when they'd forget to ask God's counsel, as Israel did when they came into Canaan land, they didn't seek God's counsel, and they got deceived. So you had to ask God's counsel, and that's all good. The entire nation is coming, and the ark is coming to Jerusalem, and the ark of God is being brought there, and they got a cart. They've got a brand new cart. They put oxen on it. They put the ark in the back of the covenant in the back of it. They had a couple men driving the ark, and they drove it along, and as they went along, they were going to Jerusalem. As it's going along, all of a sudden, they just kind of hit a bump in the road here, and the Ark of the Covenant, they got a little shaky there, and one of the men driving the cart reached back to steady the cart, the Ark of the Covenant, and he touched it, and God killed him. And he died. It was done. And everyone was around the cart celebrating it. Everyone is excited about it. It was a big celebration. Here comes the Ark of God. It was a big parade. It was exciting. And all of a sudden, this guy dies. And David is devastated. And David, if you look at his wording, he's kind of mad. He's like, what are you doing, God? This isn't fair. This isn't right. This isn't a good thing. And terrible. Verse 9 and 10, it says, and when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, and Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord is kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God, and David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and we'll get to that in a little while. Terrible thing happened, and Uzzah died, and then they parked the ark, said, how are we going to bring it anywhere? It is so dangerous. What if it tips again? What if anything happens? And all the steam went. And they took it to a guy's house named Obed-Edom, parked it there and said, how are we going to? And David said, verse 12, and David was afraid of God that day and said, how shall I bring the ark of God to help me? A couple things here. First lesson, number one, is doing the wrong thing with good intentions equals the wrong thing. That sounds so bad in our emotion-based society. But doing the wrong thing with the right intentions is doing the wrong thing. It doesn't matter your intention if you do the wrong thing. It's still wrong. What did David do wrong? He wanted to do this. He wanted to do this good thing. It was a good thing. He wanted to bring in the Ark of God. God gave very specific instructions in the Ark of the Covenant. When they made the Ark of the Covenant, they made rings through the side of it, and there's rings along the side of it, and you slid a pole through those rings on each side of it, and it had to be carried by certain poles through those rings, and the Levites were the only people who were allowed to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and it was never to be moved except in that exact way. That was God's way of moving the Ark of the Covenant. Those people carrying it on their shoulders. It was a symbol of carrying the presence of God with them. There's a lot of types in it in the Bible and a lot of reason for it. And God says, I want it carried this way for a reason. That's the way you carried it. David put it on an ark, on a cart. And he didn't do it God's way. David knew the Bible. He forgot, he was negligent, or he didn't care, or he didn't want to take the trouble. We don't know why he didn't do it, but they didn't move it God's way, and it was the wrong thing. Doing the wrong thing with good intentions is the wrong thing. We see this in many ways in our lives. Somebody stops going to church because they find a good reason to stop going to church, and they don't mean to really backslide. We find someone who go out and says, well, we love each other and we're living together. And you know what? We want to be together because we have kids. And so we're together, but you're not married. But we love each other. It doesn't matter. You're still doing the wrong thing, whether the intentions are right, whether you really love each other, whether you intend to get married, whether you want to do it for the good of the kids. You're still not doing what God says to do. So many people don't go to church. The Bible says go to church. But I have a good reason. I'm going to worship God at home, or I've got to be with this person. Listen. You just do what God says. But I have a good reason for not doing this. Doesn't matter. God said I wanted the Ark of the Covenant moved. The Lord says things for a reason. He's very wise. If he tells you to do something, you'll find out that if you do what he says, you'll be blessed. And if you, and I want to say this, you can find a way to justify anything if you want to. You'll find a good motivation. You will talk yourself into it. But you know what you should do? What does the Bible say? And never let good intentions make you disobey the Bible. I love when somebody says, well, I'm not going to go witness because I don't want to turn them off the gospel because I offend them. Well, first of all, you're disobeying God. God says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Number two, there's no worse place they go than hell. If you don't witness, if you witness them, they don't get saved. God says to do that. Well, I just don't want them to get turned off. That's your intention making you disobey God. You do what God says to do. You always do the way God says to do it. Many parents have loved their kids and they just don't want to hurt their little Johnny so much so they won't discipline their kid. And you know what? Your good intentions are ruining your child because God says a certain way to do things. And so a good intention doing the wrong thing is still doing the wrong thing, and God does not say, okay, fine. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's what God says. God's word goes above all of our feelings and intentions. Amen? That's what God's word does. Number one, doing the wrong thing with good intentions equals the wrong thing. Number two, unintended consequences often happen when you don't do things God's way. Unintended consequences often happen when you don't do things the Lord's way. A good man died. Uzzah, or however you want to pronounce his name, he was trying to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling off the cart. And David is a good guy. David is a man after God's own heart and says, that's not right. He wasn't graffitiing the Ark of the Covenant. He wasn't trying to knock it off. He's trying to save it. But one of the things that happens that's heartbreaking is when you don't obey God, and here's what you're doing, and over here, this thing falls and happens, the unintended consequences is related, though you might not think it was a direct consequence. It's kind of like, you go out and say, I'm going to mess around, I'm going to go cut down a tree in the forest. And you weren't supposed to cut down the tree in the forest. And in the process of cutting down that tree, it falls toward the nearest house. And you said, no, I meant it to fall away from everything. I was just having fun. But you know what? If you wouldn't have cut down the tree, it wouldn't have landed on the house. Of course you didn't mean it for it to land on the house. Some guy goes and drives 90 miles. Do you know how many drunk drivers want to kill somebody? You don't find drunk drivers say, I really want to go drive drunk and kill somebody. But they drive drunk and they kill somebody, but that's an unintended consequence of doing something wrong. They did not say, I'm going to drive drunk tonight and go run over some kid or go slam head onto some family. But when you step into the realm of disobedience and not doing the right thing, you just start a top spinning, and where that top goes could be anywhere. And the people that get hurt and the people that get messed up, even though you don't mean bad. That's the thing I want you to understand. I've watched really nice people make foolish decisions because I've watched parents get offended at a good church. They get out of the good church just because they feel offended. They feel somebody at the church did them wrong. They don't understand that they didn't intend for their kids to never go back to church. They didn't intend for their teenage daughter who's 16, who was going to church and liked church, who's now pregnant. They didn't want that to happen. You know how many times I've seen that stuff? The unintended consequences, and remember, the devil's a liar. And he's just going to say, just do this wrong. Just go do this one sin. But you say, well, it's just that. But then all of a sudden, in life, things start flinging out and consequences start being spit up. And you say, "That I didn't intend for that to happen." And I believe you. And you would believe me. Because you don't know. The devil knows the consequence, maybe. And God knows the consequence, but you and I don't. And so David didn't say, I'm going to go move it with the wrong way, and then Uzzah's going to die. That's not what he wanted. He was offended. He was hurt. He didn't like it. But unintended consequences. I just tell you things I've seen in life. I've seen people whose children, because they just decided to get out of church and watch their kids turn out bad. They decided to get bitter, and they didn't intend for their kids to become bitter people. They went and ruined their testimony and didn't realize that person would never come to church again or be saved. There's so many things that we see in these things. One of the things that I've seen a lot over 25 years, and not to get political here, but one of the things I've seen just as I deal with poor people and have for so long, and every week of my life I deal with it, is the Great Society that came out in the 60s. That was really well-intentioned. We don't want anybody to go without. We want people to be able to, if they're in trouble financially, and if they can't pay their bills and they can't eat, we want to be able to take care of them. And with good intentions, the politicians made the Great Society and welfare and all these things. And they made those things. And I tell you, they'd have destroyed our society. The girls who've went out and had sex when they weren't married with a bum because they know that welfare's there and ruined their lives. The I don't need you, sir, that's come out where we've lost our men. Go to the inner city and try to find a dad. Why do you need a dad? You got the government. And I don't think those politicians that said, I want to ruin society and make it so that I'm going to make it so that in the inner city, in the African-American population, the birth outside of wedlock percentage is over 90%. They didn't want that. That's a disaster in society. But the good intentions, but the Bible says a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. That's what God says. So when you do that, and I fed these people, and I talked to these people, I've been in the projects galore, I've been all that stuff. But an unintended consequence of not following God's principle, which is if you won't work, you don't eat. The unintended consequence was you don't need a breadwinner anymore. And you don't need to be responsible anymore. And you don't need to get married anymore. And it's destroyed our families. Unintentionally. I believe, as I listen to politicians and they say, no, we've got to feed all these people, we've got to take care of people, we've got to increase this stuff. And I'm sort of going, no, don't do that. I love these people too much for you to make it too easy to do wrong and be irresponsible. And I'm not saying there's never a person who should never get help and all that stuff. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we just have unintended consequences. And I see these things with where good-intentioned people mean to do something right but aren't careful and do not do the right thing. I've seen people not go into the will of God, and bad things happen when they're not in the will of God. And tragedy happen. And boy, it's dangerous. Unintended consequences when you don't do that. Next, and really the most important point of the message, sometimes we disagree with the Lord. Sometimes we disagree with the Lord. Look at David here, and in verse 11, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. A breach means a break, a separation. He's saying, basically, you did Uzzah wrong. I don't like what you did here, God. You made a breach upon him. You violated him. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Therefore, the place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. David said, you know what we're going to name this place now? A breach on Uzzah. He says, I want everybody to know, I think Uzzah got a bad rap here. And there was a breach upon him. David disagreed with God. He said, I wanted to bring your ark back here so we could go and inquire at you, and I brought the whole nation here to celebrate you and to worship you and have a big festival, and you kill the guy who's trying to save your ark from falling off. It fell off, it would break the wings, it would be terrible disaster. I'm naming this place a breach upon Uzzah. That's what his name is. He disagreed with God. And if you're honest, and here's a big danger. If you're honest, there's times you disagree with God. Some people won't face up to that, and then they start getting bitter at God. I think it's better to deal with it. I think you're better off going to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't agree. Can I tell you, he already knows you don't agree. He's not going to go, oh, really? He knows that. The Bible says casting all your care upon him, all of it, for he cares for you. And sometimes we don't agree with God. So I read stories in the Bible. I still read stories in the Bible. I say, I don't know about that. You really going to take Jacob over Esau? You're taking the hairy guy who goes hunting over the mama's boy who's cooking. Whenever Esau comes back from hunting and his brother says, give me your birthright and I'll give you a bite of food. His brother's asking for food. He has food in front of him. I say, shoot him and take his chili. That's what I think. I mean, it's like, why are you choosing this guy? But God chose him. And you know what? Sometimes you just don't agree with God. I might not even have put the serpent in the Garden of Eden. I may have made that fruit smell and look bad. There's a lot of things. I might not have put it in the midst of the garden. There's a lot of things where I say, but you know what? It's better to talk to God Because you do that. We disagree with God sometimes. Look at verse 13. So David brought the ark of God home himself to the city of David, but carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And he said, I'm sorry, verse 12. David was afraid of God that day and said, how shall I bring this ark to God? Chapter 15. He still says God made a breach. For beside you did not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach. This is chapter 15, verse 13. The Lord our God made a breach upon us. He says God made a breach upon us. He put a gap in there. He did something I don't like. And he didn't do that. First of all, if I want to say a couple things to do. Number one, when you don't agree with God, let it out. Talk to God about it. Just go talk to him. If you say, Lord, I wanted my life to turn out like this, and it's turned out like this. Lord, I wanted this person to be like this. I wanted this. Don't just keep it built up there and let the devil use it to make it bitter. Tell it to the Lord. And by the way, you might find out he might answer back. And he might show you the answer. He wants you to talk to him. He cares about you. He's a person. Tell him, I don't agree. Second, though, is very important, is let him be God. There's nothing wrong with telling him, but do it carefully. You don't say, how dare you, God, this is wrong and evil. No. You say more, Lord, this seems wrong to me. I don't agree with this, Lord. I did this and this and this right, and I thought this should have happened. I don't agree with it, Lord, but you're God. You can do whatever you want. You let God be God. David, I want to say this real carefully. David did not quit serving God at this time. That's very important. He was offended at God. He named the town kind of a, see, look what I named the town. They're going to remember, you made a breach upon Uzzah at this time. But then he continued to serve God. And he continued to do the right thing. He didn't try to move the ark again. And here's the thing. You're going to find, as I've found, as I've listened to great wise men, that there are times where they didn't understand. And they went many years just saying, okay, God, I don't understand this, but you're good. I'm just going to go on. Because you do not have to understand. You don't have to. My children don't have to understand everything I tell them. I might tell them why. But sometimes I might just say, go run around the yard. I don't need them to ask me why. Now, I might tell them. But sometimes you just have to say, I don't agree with God, but I'm going to serve him anyway because I... No, he is God, and I'm man, and he's smarter than me. And I've seen some people who are good people who had somebody they loved pass away or have some tragedy in their life they didn't expect and didn't like. And they really got bitter at God. And eventually it made them quit serving the Lord. The Lord has a right to do whatever he wants to with you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. By the way, if you get what you deserve, the earth will open up, you will fall into hell, and it will close back on you. Any blessing. Instead of saying, why'd you take them from me? Say, God, I don't know why you gave me somebody like that. What a blessing that I had him for all those years. God is a good God. He didn't change because of your circumstance. And you just need to let him be God because he is God and he's the Lord of the universe and he can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to ask our permission. Now, he's good. He's a loving father. But ultimately, if he wants to do whatever he wants to do, let him be God and go on your life and say, Lord, I don't agree, but I'm still going to serve you because you're God and you're worthy of it. And by the way, I don't think it was very fair he had to give his son for me. But he doesn't stay bitter at me because I took his son with my sins. And let him be God and keep on serving him. David didn't go and quit on God. He kept serving God. He later learned some things. Next point in this, we said number one, doing the wrong thing with good intentions equals a wrong thing. Number two, unintended consequences happen when you don't do things the Lord's way. Number three, sometimes you disagree with the Lord. Number four, the presence of God brings blessing. Lucky guy, the nearest house to where Uzzah died was Obed-Edom's house. And verse 14, the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. They park it there, and guess what? The presence of God makes things blessed. And you know what? If you just have the presence of God in your life and in your home, you're going to find just God blesses. The hand of God, the blessing of God, the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence, symbol of the presence of God. And when it rested at Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom is sitting there and he's looking at his corn and he's going, whoa, look at them tomatoes. Good night, these things are this big. My cows are having triplets. Woohoo! I mean, everything is blessed. My wife wakes up and gives me a foot rubbing, gives me breakfast in bed. This is awesome. And I mean, he's just a happy guy. I mean, things are going well. His kids are doing well. All that he had was blessed because God is with him. I want to say, when God is with you, you're just blessed. More important than you try to manipulate everything in life to work out good and to work to your advantage, I would more manipulate God into being with you. And you won't manipulate him, but the word, understand, when the Lord's with you, God just blesses. The presence of God just brings great blessing. And then the last point I want to bring is the Lord blesses those that learn and turn. The Lord blesses those that learn and turn. Very important point. Go back to 13:12. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Remember the good intentions, verse 3? And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not in the days of Saul. He brings it. Now he says, how am I going to bring it home to me? Well, David, read the Bible. It'll tell you how to bring it home to you. Now watch. David doesn't get bitter and leave God. And somewhere between chapter 13 and chapter 15, he learns. Look at chapter 15. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, ready? None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. He got it. He messed it up before. He was dead wrong, and a man was dead because of it. But here we are in this chapter, and he says, you know what? We need to move the ark of God here, and nobody should move the ark of God except for the Levites. They're the ones God has chosen. We do not even know how he learned it. Did he read his Bible? Did one of the prophets say, hey, David, by the way, don't be so mad at God. It was your fault. We don't know what happened there. But somewhere along the way, David said, let's go get the ark of God. And no one should do it but the Levites. So David said, get the Levites to have them consecrate themselves and go to the house of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom says, do you have to? And they went to his house. And he says, they've got to do that. He learned. Look down at verse 12. And he said to them, ye are the chief of your fathers, the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after due order. He said, you know what? God did the right thing. God punished us because we didn't seek him after due order. We were supposed to do this. And if you would have brought it into town, the breach wouldn't have happened. Now, remember David? I don't understand this, God. This is a breach upon us. This isn't right. And I'm afraid of you, God. And how am I going to bring this ark to my house? And now he is over here saying, only the Levites should move it. And God did this breach upon us because we didn't do things in the right order. He turned. And that's very hard for us stubborn men, especially, and stubborn women to do. You know, when you're dead wrong, and there's consequences to it, and you have to say, I blew it. It's very hard. If I'm ever wrong, it's going to be tough. I'm joking. And when we go and say, you know what? This happened because I did this. So sometimes someone will come and their life is just messed up because they made bad decisions. And they'll come and there comes a blame. And they will come, they'll say, let's talk about this and what's this work on this. And they'll say, well, my life was good except for this person did this to me and this did this to me. And because this happened and this happened and this happened, my life fell apart and da da da. And you're going, wait a minute, you weren't doing this right or this right. And you're really bitter at some people, and it sounds like you're kind of bitter at God. Hold on. You need to face up to what you did wrong. Many times in a divorce situation, I find they can't even have a good next marriage as long as they're sitting there bitter at the last person. And I find very few situations where it's 100% one person's fault and 0% the other person's fault. And sometimes you just need to say, you know what? They were wrong. They should have done this and this and this, but I did this too. Because when you don't get it right, it seems like you got some burr in your saddle for the rest of your life. And facing up, and David said, I did wrong. You know what? We're going to move it right this time. Lord, you did that because we did this. You learn. You admit it. You find out why you did it. I just want to say, it is so much easier in life if you just say, I blew it, than continuing on with falsehoods and bitterness and anger and frustration in your life. Just if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And David found it out, learned what he did wrong, admitted it, fixed it. And you know what God did? I don't care, David. You already ruined it. You messed it up. You moved it wrong the first time. Forget it. No. God said, I'm in this now. Because the Lord's merciful. When you will just learn and turn, the Lord is merciful and he can fix it. And so David learned and turned. God began to bless the move because he did that. Verse 15, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. So, it's David admitted we did wrong, admitted why it happened, he understood it. And by the way, don't think you're going to understand everything immediately. Sometimes in the future, you're ready to understand. And David, when it happened, wasn't ready to understand, but he was ready to understand in chapter 15. He was ready to get it. He understood. I did wrong. I made a bad choice. And we're going to do it right this time. And I want to say this. God is merciful. If you want to correct things, God is all into correcting things. You want to live in denial? You want to blame God? You want to blame somebody else? But when you just want to say, you know what? I blew it. And by the way, you know how many times I've blown it? You know how many times I blew it? You don't know how many times I've blown it. Otherwise, you wouldn't let me be your pastor. I've blown it a lot of times. And you have too. And you know what? God says, I know you blew it. Thanks for admitting it. Now, are you going to change it? David didn't put it in a cart. Probably couldn't find any volunteers to drive the cart. That was hazard pay. But David went and said, let's get the Levites. Let's get them consecrate themselves. And they did that. Watch how God's so merciful. Chapter 15, verse 25. And so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And by the way, when you do wrong and you come back to God, you don't need to sit here and kick yourself anymore. You confess it, move on, and go serve God with joy. God's forgiven you. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. You notice that God now became involved and helped them? God's not mad. God's not holding grudges. The Lord is not saying, I'm not going to be with this. You guys messed it up the first time. The Lord remembers we're about dust. We blow it. We ruin it. We've messed it up. And God says, all right, you guys are doing it right now. I'm helping the Levites carry the Ark of the Covenant. I'm with them to do good things. And if you have messed up or you didn't do things right or it doesn't matter. Listen, a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. Get back up, confess it to God, change it, and go fix it. Just admit you blew it. The Lord knows you blew it. That's okay. He's merciful. He's kind. He's patient. He loves you. And David, and here's the key. Over here, I'm afraid of you, God. How am I going to move this thing? He didn't have the knowledge, but he didn't go away from God. Why? Chapter 15, you find him wanting to bring it still. He didn't understand and continued on. And I'll just tell you this, in my life, I have had I don't understands that I've went on with for a long time. And then all of a sudden I said, oh, should have seen that. A little bit embarrassed because how much I didn't see. God knew what he was doing. I found out the Lord's pretty smart. He doesn't always look smart to me. And your parents didn't always look smart to you. But you get a little older and a little wiser in the faith and you start saying, after a while, you start saying, okay, God, that made sense. And you see it enough times, you start saying, okay, I don't understand this. Lord, this doesn't make sense. I don't agree with this. This looks all wrong. But Lord, you're smarter than I am. So I'm going to keep on serving you. And I can't wait till you show me why this is. And you go on. And then all of a sudden you realize it. And because you trusted God, you're blessed. And David was blessed because they brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, had a huge celebration, and David had God's presence with him there in Jerusalem. And the Ark of the Covenant dwelt there with God's blessings. Why? Because he learned and turned, and he kept serving God when he didn't understand. And he even admitted, God did this because we didn't do things right. He didn't understand that before, but he stayed in the right track until he understood it. And that's the key to serving God, is you trust him enough to let him be God. And you keep on serving him, and you do what God wants. And you, by the way, when the presence of God is there, it's blessed. And so David was wise enough to turn and learn. And if you will do that and say, you know what, I blew it, I messed up, but I've learned. And the only total mistake is one you don't learn from. And you admit you messed up. Guess what? The presence of God is there in Jerusalem now. And they had a big celebration. The whole nation came. Levites carried it in. God helped them. It was all blessed when they did it according to God's word. And that's the same is true with our life. When you just stop and say, wait a minute, did it wrong? Not, oh, I did it wrong. I'm such a loser. I'm so worthless. I can never do anything right. God can never use me. That's not what God says to do. And that's not what David did. And by the way, tell your heart to God and share with him, casting all your care upon him. And you trust God and watch how he blesses. And watch when you turn and learn how he blesses. And watch when the presence of God is in your life, how he blesses. Because he's a good God. And he didn't change when he did something offensive to us. And you don't quit serving him when he does something offensive to you. Tell him about it. Express it to him. But keep on serving him, because later you're going to find out he was right. He was right, just like David did. I'm so glad David learned and he turned. And I hope you'll do that in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the, Lord, just a few simple lessons from this chapter. But it's fascinating how David so completely learns and changes it and admits that you're right, Father, when he's so completely offended at the start and afraid of you and said, I can't even move the Ark of God. And Lord, he's frustrated. Lord, may we trust you. And Lord, may we serve you when we don't understand. May we have your presence in our life. May we repent and serve you, Father, and turn when we do things wrong and see how you can bless because you're so merciful and because your anger doesn't last forever. Lord, Uzzah was in the wrong spot doing the wrong thing because David gave the wrong instructions. We can see that clearly, but David couldn't see it clearly at the start. And a city was named for a long time about an offense. Lord, I pray that we'd be people who trust you, who have your presence, who learn and turn. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know.